Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing okay. Busy, busy day, hey?
It has been a busy, busy day.
It feels like a busy, busy day.
I also felt like I had a busy day because I had such a long commute in. Mm. So there was an issue on the central line and I didn't get here until 11 o'clock-ish. Maybe even just maybe quarter past 11 and I left the house at 8:30.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it?
Well, you know, maybe in the near future we'd move. Maybe it'll be easier to get here. Oh, that's a little peek behind the curtains. That's something we're trying to do.
How was your weekend? I didn't get to ask you because we were jumped. Because you jumped straight into the Extreme Rules review yesterday,
well,
quite rudely.
I saw bloody Skyscraper, didn't I?
You certainly did.
Rock and the Dwayne Johnson's latest movie.
Which is very tied to this podcast, being that it's about wrestling.
Yes. Yeah, there's a loose thread there.
Between The Rock and a Die Hard place.
Nice. That's the second time Luke's made that joke here, everybody. Not on the podcast.
Nope, but I will.
You're very happy about it.
Every time I get a chance to, I'm going to use it.
Yeah, it is good. It's absolute bollocks, but it's bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
In the most ITV3 way possible.
Ooh, ITV3. You go down an even further level.
Well, ITV2 is essentially a reality TV channel.
And Hot Fuzz.
You're not going to see. No, I think Hot Fuzz doesn't play on ITV2,
yeah,
does it?
That's on ITV2 all the time. I think it's every week.
Well, this is going to be a movie in 20 years' time that everyone's going to figure, oh, did that happen? Did they make like a Die Hard ripoff? I mean, I know The Rock's a really big star looking back retrospectively 20 years in the future, but wow, he made all these movies. Huh.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's okay.
Kind of like we would do with Schwarzenegger, where you kind of like go through his movie, and you're like, oh yeah, Eraser. I forgot that was a film.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I had that on DVD with like a cardboard front cover. Do you have that one?
Yeah, the Warner Brothers ones, where they were like the crack case things. Like, yeah. They were really bad then.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking, to be honest, because they released all of their DVDs in the same format.
If it rains on the way home from Blue Water, that ruined.
Absolutely. Like we went shopping last week after before the garden party that I went to, and Primark give you everything in a paper bag, which is good. It's good for the environment, but it was also persisting it down with rain outside, and I was like, if one raindrop hits this thing, it's game over. It's gonna split everywhere.
Because you because you had to buy some smart clothes.
I did, because I was going to a lovely, lovely birthday party in a very, very posh house. And the invite was sort of like, you know, dressed to impress. You know, we're not looking for suits, not looking for DJs, you know, dinner jackets and all that sort of stuff. We're just looking for you to not wear shorts and Sonic the Hedgehog t-shirts. And I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely fair enough. You know, I can certainly do that. And so I looked at because I'm all queer-eyed at the moment, I was like, do you know what? I don't think I've got anything here that I particularly like. Because I haven't got smart trousers that aren't my suit trousers. So I went and bought a pair of chinos.
Mm.
Some grey chinos. And it got to that point when my wife turned to me and said, like, okay, well, what size are you? And I was like, I don't know.
Medium.
I think it's this. It wasn't. It was a different one. And then we went to go looked at shirts, and she was like, what neck size are you? And I went, oh, I don't know. So I took in three different types.
Do you put in the beard? Do you count the beard for the neck size?
No, because that's all on my chin, so that's fine. But I took in three different shirt sizes. It was very much the first one I tried on, so that was lucky. So I don't have to bother with the other two.
They could have been better fits.
No, I tried on one of them. One of them was a large. It was really billowy around like the bingo wings, so I decided not to take that one.
Fascinating.
And I bought three shirts. Three new shirts, a nice new bow tie, and some grey chinos. All in all, £38. You know, not too bad for a Primark. And then we went out for dinner, and I had a big old calzone. It was delicious.
Calzone? Mm-hmm. I used to love calzones until I watched Parks and Rec. I just look at it and think, who eats a calzone?
Me.
I would as well. I must say, though, I don't like that I can't see what's in there.
Oh, yeah.
That gets me going. Oh, one other thing about Skyscraper. I forgot we were talking about it. I went to see it with a friend of mine who's a chartered surveyor. So he knows a lot about buildings and what is physically possible with buildings.
Uh-huh.
And he was laughing a lot.
Oh, okay. Laughing one of those sort of people.
It's one of those films where you... No, I was laughing too. If you weren't laughing in that movie... You're not experiencing it in the right way.
What I mean is they were laughing at things that only a chartered surveyor would understand.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's a bit like when we used to watch medical dramas with my mother, who was a nurse, and she would just go like, it's not on my ward.
Yeah, I get that, but I, as a non-chartered surveyor, understood that you can't have like a 20-story garden installation in the middle of your 220-story superstructure. That is a superstructure.
That is a superstructure.
JR would flipping fall off his chair and break a rib because of that.
Oh, too soon.
He's okay. He's okay. That's fine, I think. I'll apologise to him backstage afterwards.
I shot a short film at a hospital that my mother was more or less in charge of, because that was once her job before she became self-employed. Sort of doing the same thing, I guess.
But like the NHS itself, becoming privatised.
Oh, tell me about it. But so we were doing this short film, starring the woman who is now my wife in a cameo role because she directed it. I feel like I'm opening up a can of worms here, because anytime I mention I made something and it is available for people to find, people end up finding it and sending me screenshots. I found that when Laurie revealed his name on the news, my Twitter feed was just people finding things of him on YouTube and screen capping and being like, found you.
Yeah.
Found you. And I was like, this is creepy, man. But so I feel like I've opened up a bit of a can of worms with that. So she starred in this.
So that is available.
It is available on
YouTube. I haven't seen that one.
Have you not?
I don't think so.
No, it's the thing I'm most proud of. She directed it as well, the woman who became my wife.
What did you do?
I wrote it.
Okay.
I have a cameo role in it, but only in the background of one shot. I was boom operator for the majority of it. But anyway, so she has a cameo towards the end of the movie as a nurse. And she comes in and she tells this detective that you can't be hanging around this. You know, you've got to go now. And my mum, who was on set, because, you know, she was the person who sort of let us in and let us use this. It's like, she just turned to me, it's like, she has her nose pierced, and that would not fly on my ward. I would have, and not only that, she has the top of her ear pierced, she was like, I would have sent her home.
That would not fly on my ward, nor for my son. Aggressive look.
No, she absolutely loves that girl, who is now my wife.
Does she, and the nose piercing's okay?
Oh, yeah, she thinks it's like, my wife's gorgeous. And like, my mum knows that. And she's just like, look how gorgeous this woman is.
My lady partner had a nose piercing and a lip piercing. I'm not a fan of piercings.
No?
I just, fine for anyone else. But my lady partner had them when she was cool and edgy. I've chipped away at them. And she had an operation on her face. She had a jaw broken. It was intense.
That is intense.
Yeah, it's like a braces thing. And she is like 30. She's not a teenager. And they had to remove all these things just in case for the surgery. They have never gone back in. I'm actively encouraging her not to.
Right, before we dive into the news, would you like... I mean, we have to get one bit of correspondence in because Ollie is trying to keep me to a tight 10-minute opening.
Because we can't do 40-minute intros and outros.
Right, so this...
We've got a whole show in the middle of this.
So this email is from Martin Harmon with a Rusev hey. Hi, Luke.
Rusev hey.
Hi, Luke, not Ollie. Thought I'd give an experience when I, quote, met Drew McIntyre. Now,
ooh.
I like this email, but there is a part of it when I read it, I was like, I don't believe you.
Really? Let's see if it's the same bit.
Let's see if it comes.
So this is McIntyre, not Galloway.
Yes. So I believe he was in Galloway because this was at ICW.
Hmm.
So 2 years ago, I was getting married, and for my stag do, my mates decided to go see ICW in Birmingham. One of the marquee matches we were looking to was Grado versus Drew Galloway. Me and my mates were all dressed up like pro wrestlers, and I was dressed as Hulk Hogan. He writes in brackets, amid all the sex tape and racism scandal. ICW is a rowdy show anyway, and me and 10 other mates, all in costume, reasonably drunk, meant we were the rowdiest of the lot. During Grado versus Drew, Drew won by sneakily using a weapon on our favourite wrestler Grado, and we were not happy at all. As Drew and his comrades made their way up the ramp, me and my mates were at the barrier shouting some choice words at him, something along the lines of F U and F U U F N C. Classy, I know. That's when Drew made eye contact with us, started mouthing back. Drew then proceeded to steal my friend Charlie's wig, who was dressed as NWO Macho Man Randy Savage, and threw it into the crowd. I was not happy about this at all. I had a lot of Dutch courage going on, as Drew really seemed as tall as he seems. Or really is as tall as he seems. I'm 6 foot and I had to look up at him. Yet I continued to mouth off. That's when he took a step back and full-on clotheslined me from the other side of the rail. Yes, former NXT and Intercontinental Champion Drew McIntyre clotheslined a 26-year-old dressed as Hulk Hogan. I sort of saw it coming and threw myself back and took a full-on bump to the venue floor. Sold it like a boss. Two of my mates, one dressed as a ref, another dressed like Sting, ran off as they were legitimately scared. I'm not sure if the whole story makes me seem like a dick, but I have to say it's one of the greatest experiences of my life, and if I had the chance to bump into Drew again, I would thank him for it. Sorry if this is a bit long. Feel free to edit if you wish, which I didn't. Thank you for all the good work you do, and I hope to meet you guys at a show someday soon. All the best, Martin. P.S. I've attached some images of our friends. So,
pictures or it didn't happen.
So that is man Martin there as Hulk Hogan. We've got another one dressed as Sting. And
these are some sexy poses.
Absolutely. And he's like full crow Sting as well. That's all of them there. There's a Dude Love. There's a Big Boss Man.
And a bunch of lads.
There's your Macho Man Randy Savage.
There's a Shane O'Mac in a very low-rank costume in the middle.
I thought it was meant to be CM Punk. In fact, actually, we've been able to pull off a CM Punk with that hairstyle and goatee. And there is the Macho Man himself with the wig that got stolen.
But no picture of the alleged incident.
So this is it.
I think that could have happened.
Drew attacking a fan at ringside, a full-on clothesline and
ICW's
a big old back
hardcore.
Bump. It is hardcore.
Like in the early days of Progress, the wrestlers would get physical with fans. And they had a few plants, but nothing to the extent where you would have to take a back bump.
Mm.
But like, you can do a clothesline. It just give you a slight push.
Or exposing the business. Davis.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
Yeah, well, to be honest, maybe I've changed my mind. And I apologise if I try to throw some shade at your story.
I've just dabbed. I just dabbed in the direction of Luke.
I just did a hand motion, I don't know what it was, and then did a dab.
It was like, go away, and then I did a dab.
And I don't know why.
Because that was you throwing the shade. There was
a
bit of shade that I was throwing. So it seems like Luke's more easily laughing than I thought. I can just do a dab and it makes him laugh.
It's very funny. There was a moment, actually, when I was at my garden party where one of the younger members of our sort of fraternity, so to speak, who's dating one of the people who's around our age, was teaching old people how to floss, which I still don't fully understand. I've seen kids do it on tubes, like practicing it. I saw a kid in a Greggs practicing it, and I'm just like, I don't know why you'd practice this. Why would you?
Well, you know, it's not practicing. Maybe it's people just doing the dance.
Maybe they just really enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I see what we need to crack on with the rest of this show. So we're going to be kicking off with Ollie having, I'd say, a bit of an epic upset rant about Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley. Spoilers if you haven't watched Raw, happening again next week.
Wow. After, you know, that Bobby Lashley defeated Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules, we're getting Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns again. This was decided from two triple threat matches throughout the course of the night. And this time, it's actually going to be for the number one contender opportunity to go up against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. So this seemed to once be the plan for the Extreme Rules match. But rather than have it there, it's just going to be a week later. And so I'm just a bit dejected from all of this. I'm just tired now.
Yeah, I got a text message from Ollie this morning because we go back and forth, peeling the curtain back a little bit. We sometimes go back and forth on what the title for a Wrestle Ramble video should be. And you just texted me this morning saying, like, how do you feel about go away Roman Reigns push as the Wrestle Ramble title? And I was like, I mean, it seems a bit negative. And I don't want us to come across as too negative. We get accused sometimes. It's funny, like, we either get accused of being too critical of WWE or we do nothing but praise them.
WWE fanboys,
yeah, that's,
on the WWE payroll.
That's it. So we're either one or the other. And I think on this verge, we're sliding to the other direction of this negative WWE thing. And I thought, I was like, is that a bit negative? Is it a bit too negative? And you said to me just before we came into record, like, are you not angry about the Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley thing? And I suddenly thought, I was like, no, I'm not angry. I'm just fed up, maybe. I'm just
disappointed.
I was just sort of laid flat by the whole thing, really. And all, like, the wind was taken out of my sails. Because the opening segment, when you had all six of these lads come out, and, like, they were teasing, like, Bobby. Like, so Bobby Lashley comes out first, and then Drew comes out, and I'm like, yes, Drew. Then Seth comes out, I'm like, yes, Seth. And then I'm like, each person, I was like, yes, this is great.
Elias, I mean, you're losing, but I like you.
Again, we've got time to fill, I guess, and we don't exactly have a main event scene on this show. We may as well try and push someone at the very least.
You can't have singles matches anymore. We need enough people to have multi-person matches.
Yeah, and Balor was the other one as well. I'm like, yes, Balor, finally, we're trying to elevate some of these guys out of this mid-card funk into some upper-card stuff.
And what, you thought that when you saw Finn Balor smiling down to the ring?
It made it a
2 years ago.
There's a little bit different Irish accent. It's a little bit of me that was just like, oh, lovely, this feels like a fresh change of pace. And then Roman came out, and I was like, well, yeah, that was to be expected. And they set up these three triple threats, and I looked at these two triple threat matches, because I was got confused by the threes, two triple threat matches, I was like, God, there's some intriguing prospects in here. Finn versus Brock, Seth versus Brock, Drew versus Brock, Bobby. I was like, this is really great. And then when you had the two lads win, and I was like, this was the most obvious choice and the least interesting choice you could have gone from this scenario. And it did leave me very deflated by the end of the show.
That's it, because overall, for all the people being like, just enjoy it.
Just enjoy the show.
Just enjoy what WWE give you. Don't ask questions that we should be given better.
Mm. This food doesn't taste very nice, but I'll eat it anyway.
Mm, because it's on.
Because it's on.
And I used to eat it as a kid.
Yeah, there's other food I could go and get, and this food used to be really nice.
There's a really nice Japanese restaurant down the road. But so for those people, I actually really enjoyed this episode of Raw.
So did I.
I thought the two triple threats were really entertaining.
Were excellent.
I love the Ronda stuff.
Yep.
But then at the end of it, I'm just left with such a bitter taste in my mouth because it's like, what's the point? Why do these things if it's always going to go back to the same thing that you've been trying to shove down our throats for 4 or 5 years now? And fair enough, it's been that long a time, but in the last couple of months, it's just been over and over and over again, and just when you think they're finally going to do the thing that you don't want them to do anyway, they hold off on it, which is even more frustrating. So it's just like, I want Roman Reigns to just win, defeat Brock Lesnar, just to get it over with, so we can move past this. But it's just been 3-4 months now of just going back to the same deflated well.
So you think,
empty.
So you think Roman's winning next week, then?
Yes, but even if Roman doesn't win, that does not give everyone the right to come back to this video and say, oh, looks like you were wrong, Bobby Lashley won. Because that's not the only problem. The fact is, they wrestled the night before. Why was Baron Corbin not allowed into a three-way match here?
Well, they
because he lost to Finn Balor. Why the hell was Roman Reigns allowed in this? Because he lost the previous night to Bobby Lashley.
But he's the uncrowned Universal Champion.
I don't care, Luke. Oh, it's actually angering me. This isn't like playing up to the camera. The more I'm talking about it, the more pissed off I am at WWE. I'm sick of it now.
You text me this morning and I was like, you're going to be great value on today's show. You're going to be really good value.
I'm in agreement
with you, man. And that's what I was saying. Like, I was looking at these triple threats and I was like, there's so many great great avenues we could go down here. But it is going back to that well. And it's a well we went to in Extreme Rules. And I also happen to think that Roman is going to win next week. Because WWE often like to flatten out people. So because Bobby wanted Extreme Rules, it's almost like, well, Bobby was going to... we're going to give Roman the main event of SummerSlam, so Bobby has to win the pay-per-view before, so we can do 50-50, and then no one really gets over. So I also think that Roman is winning next week because Bobby won at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. So this is...
Anyway, so the show opens with Kurt Angle coming... I'll take over. The show opened with Kurt Angle coming down, and he... obviously laid down the ultimatum at Extreme Rules that if Brock Lesnar doesn't show up or agree to a pay-per-view match, he's going to strip him of the title. This crowd wanted to see him stripped of the title. They did not want to see Lesnar show up. They did not want to see him agree to a date. They just wanted the title off of him.
Which is go home... sorry, go no, home heat.
He's
go
already
away
home,
heat.
He's already home, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Stay at home.
Stay at home heat.
And that's sort of... yeah. That's negative. You know, you want people to boo heels, but not in the way where they don't want to see the heels get their ass kicked.
Yes.
Like you build up a baby face to kick the person's ass. You build up a heel to have their ass kicked. But no one wants to see that from Brock now. They just want him to go away.
Yeah.
Go away heat.
I thought this had really worked at Extreme Rules. I thought that they'd actually managed to book him into a position where people were booing him because they wanted to see him lose the belt. But in going by this crowd tonight, no, they just want the belt back, essentially.
They just want this whole Brock Lesnar thing to stop.
Yes, because we haven't seen him since April. That was quite a long time ago. Quite a few pay-per-views have passed since then, and with neither hair nor sight of him. And so that Kurt Angle's about to strip him of the belt.
Well, I was going to say, by the way, Lesnar, that's, you know, partly responsible for it, sure, but it's WWE's fault ultimately.
Yes.
And Vince McMahon for getting them in this situation and for not dropping the belt back at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You've really damaged Brock Lesnar, because at least he still had some aura about him after the AJ Styles match in Survivor Series. I know the Royal Rumble match wasn't that great, but at least you could have been done with it. But now you've spent 4 months of just slowly, systematically picking away at one of the most legitimate draws you've had in the last 5 years.
Yep. Bear in mind that this is the company that when Brock Lesnar came back after his, you know, years away, after conquering UFC, the first thing they had him do was lose to John Cena. So it's not like the company doesn't have a track record of doing this sort of stuff.
Anyway. These are all old arguments, and to be honest, I'm sick of having them.
No, absolutely.
It's repetitive.
It is repetitive. So Angle's about to strip him of the title, but Paul Heyman runs out with like a whoa, 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 whoa. And Angle was going to strip him again, and Paul Heyman says that Brock Lesnar is not here, but he will defend the title at SummerSlam. And that got no reaction, because the only thing this crowd were going to react to was the Brock Lesnar has been stripped of the Universal Championship and we're going to hold a tournament, or whatever they would have announced.
Or Lesnar turns up,
absolutely. And this kind of then started a bit of a parade. It's, you know, the standard four Raw formula when you're going to do multi-person matches later on in the show. Person A comes out, person B comes out, person C comes out, and each one of them says X, Y, and Z by why I should be the Universal Champion. First it was Bobby Lashley, then it was Drew McIntyre, the one I popped the most for.
He said it's time for phase two now.
I know, I was about to say, and I was like, cool, because I love the Winter Soldier. It's my favourite MCU movie.
Well, it's like, yes, I like the use of phases. I like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But why would you come back to a company and go, okay, my phase one, Dolph's got to win the Intercontinental title? Why is that the first bit of this master plan?
I don't know.
Why not I'm going to win the Intercontinental title? But it's by the by. Because I'm enjoying Drew a lot.
He's going for the bigger belt, mate. Mm. And then who came out next? Seth Rollins then came out. Then Balor came out.
Elias
came out. Then Balor came out. And then Roman came out. And then Kurt Angle said, we're going to have two triple threat matches. It's going to be Roman, Drew, and Finn in the first match. And it's going to be Bobby, Seth, and Elias in the second. And the first one starts right now. And then we did, and we got this triple threat match, which I thought was pretty bloody terrific.
Match of the show.
Yeah.
In fact, it was actually better than anything on Extreme Rules.
I would certainly agree with that. Absolutely, I would 100% agree with that.
I really like the AJ Rusev match.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this was more exciting and had more drama overall, because I never really bought into Rusev winning. And here, there was a bit of me that thought Drew might get it.
I did
as
well.
The way he was dominating the entire match. And the Seth Rollins Iron Man match from the previous night was just marred by crowd chanting and an awful finish.
I had a feeling that Roman was coming out the victor of this, though, because he was getting no offense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
a few cool spots.
The commentators were, like, in the early goings, the commentators were even pointing out, I was like, Roman's going to get out the starting blocks here. He's really taking a beating from Drew and Finn. And I was like, of course, Roman's winning then.
I really enjoyed Finn Balor in this match as well. I thought he had a really great firing up sequence where Drew McIntyre brought a chair in the ring and used it, but then Finn Balor got it, took out Drew, and then just started going to town on Roman, just like being this vessel for all of us. And it really fired up, and then he ran round, hit Drew, and then out of nowhere, Roman Reigns hits that great spear through the timekeeper's area.
It's great stuff.
But as much as I enjoyed Balor, I thought Drew was the standout, and then it was Finn. It's another thing, like, what's the point? How many times have we seen Finn Balor in these multi-man matches to get a chance to win that title again that he won 2 years ago now? It's at the point now where I'm sick of hearing that Finn Balor used to be the first Universal Champion. And, you know, why hasn't he had his rematch? It's not even funny to me anymore. Yeah. Give me some Kevin Owens pie throwing.
So, but Balor was, yeah, I thought he was really good in this match as well. And I really enjoyed Drew, but I agree with you. It's the case of, and I was thinking back to, do you remember the United States Championship tournament they did on SmackDown, where they did all of these sort of like prelim matches for it and then just did all the finals in one show? And they just did like this whole...
Earlier this year.
No, it was last year.
Was the end of last year when Dolph vacated the belt?
Yes, I think
it culminated at Royal Rumble. It was this year.
No, the one that they did one on SmackDown when Bobby won the belt. Anyway, it was Bobby and Drew.
Mm.
Bobby and Jinder, rather. And that was when Bobby won the US title for the first time. That was late last year. That wasn't this year.
I'm pretty sure it was January. Maybe it didn't culminate at Royal Rumble, but Clash of Champions was where Dolph vacated the belt.
I think it was before that. I think it was like in November last year or so, because it was after Jinder had lost the WWE Championship. I'm almost certain it was last year.
But carry on.
But that was one of those ones where we kind of looked at it, like the brackets were very much telegraphed as to who the final two were going to be. And I remember you and I doing our review of that, where we said, oh, it would have been more interesting if it was something like Xavier Woods, something like you weren't expecting. If your plan is to do Roman next week, then don't do Bobby Lashley. Do Seth.
Yeah.
Do a Seth. That would have been so much more interesting. If your plan is Bobby, then don't do Roman. Do Finn. Do Drew. Do something that we haven't seen yet to try and create some intrigue in next week about who's going to be the number one contender. That's, I think, is where a lot of the issues with this lie, is that it's Roman and Bobby, which seems the obvious choice. And it's an obvious choice because we just saw it at Extreme Rules. And that was essentially for the number one contendership. But they then changed that to, it's for, quote, bragging rights. I don't know what bragging rights they really got, because Bobby had to qualify again to become... So actually, there was no bragging rights whatsoever.
It's completely meaningless. And
yeah.
When WWE keep telling you that matches don't mean anything or results don't mean anything, why should you care? Why should you tune in next week?
Yes, but anyway, so then Roman won with a spear, and I sort of rolled my eyes. He did have a nasty gash above his forehead, and the crowd did not like that finish.
I thought this was a great match, and I didn't mind Roman winning, because, you know, if that could set up a Seth Rollins final. But that wasn't to be the case. There was another really good spot in this. Coup de grace from Finn's fiery up sequence on Reigns. I thought he had it won there. I know I just said that I never bought into Finn winning anymore, but Drew pulls him off just before the three count. It was a really good near
good
fall.
Good timing.
So that was the first match, and then later on there were a few interviews peppered throughout the show to build up to the other triple threat.
Seth had a really good interview, actually, where he was talking about the possibility of, like, Roman's my brother, but I will go through him if it means getting the Universal Championship.
Yeah, and that's, like, storyline-wise, that's the one. You know, Seth is your most over performer in the company. He main evented the previous night's pay-per-view. There's totally a legit reason why you could have that guy go against that guy, or the guy, and I would prefer Seth, but, you know, that's a much more engaging story to tell over the next 2 weeks. But Bobby Lashley also had a promo building up to this, and when I saw it, I thought, he's winning. And then, by extension, I almost thought he's beating Roman, because everyone else just got the standard promo backstage with Renee Young, but Bobby Lashley got he's just talking to the camera in this, like, sort of industrial backstage area. And as we know from the previous week, Paul Heyman produced the Bobby Lashley Roman Reigns segment, or was responsible for writing it, because that's because Paul Heyman has his fingers in anything that Brock Lesnar does in WWE. And this felt like that kind of Paul Heyman vibe again. So if Paul Heyman... Oh, but I guess it's because Lashley could go and was going to take on Reigns again, so that's why Paul Heyman would have produced this. So maybe Bobby Lashley wasn't going to go on to face Lesnar at SummerSlam. Whatever the deal is, that Bobby Lashley promo, how it was different to everything else, made me think Bobby Lashley might be winning the main event here.
I think this is just something that WWE are doing now, which I quite like, is they're changing up that sometimes people do cell phone promos, sometimes they're interviewed backstage by a generic interviewer, and sometimes they do a piece to camera thing. I think it's just like, so not everything feels the same. They're just trying to change things up in interview styles, which I'm fully behind.
We also had another interview, which isn't strictly related to all this, but also is indirectly. Braun Strowman saying that, you know, screw you, Kevin Owens. I nearly killed you last night. Who cares? I mean, it's a shame that I've almost forgotten about that amazing spot.
Yeah, well, I was thinking this yesterday. Like, the whole point, because it was 20 years since The Undertaker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell, same town as well, I believe. That, but that is that's an iconic shot that WWE will use till the end of time. They might not use this much anymore because it's not seen as just like the best thing for worker safety. But that spot that Kevin Owens did will likely never be shown again. Mm-hmm. I think it's like when one of the Singh brothers fell off the Punjabi prison, like, and he did that big old crash through the table. And we said at the time, like, that will never be used in a video package. And he took that massive bump for a spot that a lot of people will just forget by the end of next week.
Yeah. But Braun Strowman talked about that. But he also said, the reason I didn't go down at the start of Raw to declare myself in these number one contender style matches is because I've got the briefcase. You know what that says to me? I'm just going to have a month of meaningless feuds before I cash in on Roman when he beats Lesnar.
Yeah, that was my thinking as well, is that Roman wins next week, he beats Lesnar at SummerSlam, and then Braun cashes in immediately because the crowd are not going to react particularly well to Roman winning, but they will react to Braun cashing in.
And you know what that does?
It means we get Braun and Roman again.
Yeah.
More ambulance matches, I hope.
At WrestleMania 35...
Roman conquers the monster.
You finally crown Roman Reigns next April.
Absolutely. Do you know what I really hope? I really hope Roman wins the Royal Rumble. Because that's how you're going to get him into the that WrestleMania main event. His sixth in a row, I believe that'll be.
So the main event of this show was Bobby Lashley beating Seth Rollins and Elias, as we've already said. And it wasn't as good as the first triple threat that opened the show, but I still really enjoyed this, mostly down to Seth Rollins. But I thought Elias had a really good showing. There was a few bits there where he looked so badass, slamming Bobby Lashley into the ring post outside, running rounds from the momentum of... Sorry, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat today.
So choked up over the Roman incident.
I know. From the momentum of throwing Bobby into the ring post, he kind of finds himself in the middle... outside, and Seth Rollins does his patented dive on him, and Elias just goes, no thanks, pushes him to the side. I thought it was awesome.
My favourite spot of this match was when he got Seth buckle-bombed Bobby Lashley into the corner, and before you've even seen that Lashley has hit the buckle, he's already like leaped up and given Elias the superplex into the Falcon Arrow. What an incredible human being that man is.
Yeah,
incredible.
He's so hot right now.
He really is. It's almost like he should have won.
I liked how, so Elias had he started this match with the Elias concert, and he just stares off into the distance for a while, and he goes, sorry, I forgot where I was, and then I remembered, and then I got depressed that I was here.
Yeah.
So that was some great Elias hometown heat.
Also, his debut album is out next week.
I can't wait, I'm going to be all over that on Spotify. But then Elias attacked Rollins right away, and I thought, you know what? WWE often forgets about who was feuding a month ago, so I appreciated that level of detail. Heyman, Angle, and Baron Corbin were all shown watching backstage. But yeah, it was a good match, but it was that Rollins' curb stomp on Elias was broken up by Bobby Lashley, and then Lashley hits the spear on Elias for the win. And as fun as that was, as fun as the opener was, it's just like we're getting Reigns versus Lashley again, and by extension, probably Reigns versus Brock at SummerSlam. Mm. Just how depressing is that?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
After that opening segment, though, where everyone came out to make their case for the number one contender shot, we had a segment backstage with Bayley and Kurt Angle, and Kurt says, "Ooh, you know, if you can't get on with Sasha, because that's still a thing that's going on, we've dropped all those, what, counselling session storylines.
The friends therapy sessions, which had a very bad first week, went nowhere on the second week, and was dropped this week.
Yeah. And probably for the best.
Probably for the best.
And she Kurt says, if you can't find a way to get on, one of you's going to get traded to SmackDown. And Bayley's just there like, oh, I'm unhappy about that. Why?
I know, I've written it. That's probably the best thing for you.
Yeah, because like, okay, Sasha goes to SmackDown. You're free of her. That's a good thing. Or Bayley goes to SmackDown. You're free of her as well. And you're on SmackDown, which is the better show.
Exactly. I thought it was a really odd thing to be like, oh man, one of us might get traded to the B show. What a terrible thing that would be.
Like, she should even be like, like start to say something to Kurt, and Kurt will be like, not gonna hear it, or whatever. It's a terrible storyline. The worst feud of the year. And they're somehow making it more lackluster.
Amazing. I was actually listening to Guerrilla Positions podcast. They did their Extreme Rules review, and they made a point that I hadn't thought of that would have made those friendship therapy sessions so much better, which would have been putting Team Hell No in them as well.
Yeah.
Because they had reunited the week previous, and so you could have used that as being a reason for Dr. Shelby to come back, and it would have actually just added. Like, it'd be like, well, if we're going to be a team, if we're going to go for the tag titles, we need to really get back onto the same page again. And you could have perhaps then had Bayley and Sasha as the straight people not having to try and do comedy that could have then played across the other three trying to do wacky stuff.
I did pitch this.
Did you?
Yeah, I said it would be funny if Team Hell No are brought out by Dr. Shelby
As an example case. Did I say it was a good idea?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well. I was listening to Wrestle Ramble last week.
That's more like it.
And Ollie Davis had this really good point.
So, Bayley nonsense. Dolph Ziggler then comes out, and there's a nice little bit backstage where someone's shining his IC title for him.
I had a sudden worry it was going to be a new lackey. I was like, oh, no, it's Mr. Bootiesworth or whatever he's called on SmackDown. Drew doesn't need a comedy lackey.
Yeah.
He's already Drew's comedy lackey.
So he comes out and he cuts a promo that falls mostly flat. And that could be because the triple threat was so fun that the crowd got too into it. But I'm not sure I buy into that argument anymore, because usually when you see fun stuff, you get more excited. And then, so it's probably more just the crowd just aren't into Dolph. Really, because they've just been tired from him from so many years of ineffective booking.
Yeah, I would also say as well that he's coming out being like, you know, I'm the Intercontinental Champion, I'm this, and I'm so awesome. And you're like, yeah, but the man you beat is now going for a better title than yours. Mm. So it doesn't really make you look that prestigious or cool anymore.
Yeah, again, it's not that sort of heat, oh, you dastardly heel. It's indifferent.
Yeah.
Indifference,
yeah. Speaking of indifference.
He also had a few lines, which was just like, I don't even know if that's a joke. Like, who are you trying to work here? He said something about the click. Like, he name-dropped the click. And I think that was his idea. This is really smart. But crickets from the audience.
Yeah.
It wasn't Dolph's best promo.
Not everyone reads the internet. And speaking of indifference, Bobby Roode came out and he challenged Dolph to an IC title match. And Dolph essentially accepted and he brought a referee down. JoJo was about to announce that it's a IC title match. He was like, no, I never said it was for the title. It's just a match. And that was it. And then they had a match.
That was good. I liked that little swerve. That, well. That was a nice heel spot.
Yeah.
And they certainly had a TV match. It went a decent amount of time. I've got nothing to say about this.
My first note is, back from the break, and Ziggler has Roode in a sleeper. That's my first note I had in the match.
Yeah, like, I didn't hate it.
No.
I didn't, like, love it. It was just, it was on the telly.
Yeah.
It was on the telly for a bit.
And I think some people were expecting us to be a little bit perturbed that Bobby Roode is kind of being used in this scenario. But I think this is more particularly with what happened later on in the show, that this is leading to a Bobby heel turn. Because like Meltzer speculated on Wrestling Observer that the reason why Bobby has been losing a lot is because once you turn heel, all of that is then forgotten. So you can beat someone like a drum, and then you turn them and they're the WWE mindset is you can beat them like a drum, then all of a sudden actually they're fine because now they're turned heel and you'll just forget about all the other stuff.
He was beaten clean here,
yes,
by Ziggler, the man who couldn't even, who was pinned three times, really, who lost three times before
in a matter of 7 minutes or whatever it was. Roode here was like, it wasn't even for the title, so like Drew just beat him in a non-title match. Dolph, rather, I should keep calling him Drew, but then he was walking backstage and Mojo Rawley comes up and he's just like, aren't you supposed to be glorious? And he's just sort of like, like a heel, and he wanders off. And Bobby has this look on his face that's just like, man, I've become a catchphrase and I'm not the NXT champion anymore. I'm not in the position I was once in. Something has to change. It's that Owen Hart, enough is enough and it's time for a change.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Then we got that Bobby Lashley promo, which looked like, to me, was Heyman produced, or at least Heyman influenced. Then Mojo Rawley, who had just cut that amazing dig at Bobby, came out for a match against Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze getting the jobber entrance. Of course, his tag team partner Fandango is out for 6 months.
Just send Tyler to 205 Live.
Man, yeah, he's getting the push right here on Raw.
Isn't he just? They do need enhancement talent, I guess. Problem is just that I think the majority of their undercard is enhancement talent.
And Mojo, I thought Mojo was really good here, though. He's got a real good intensity. Yeah. I've always thought the Alabama Slam looks a little bit lame, but there's something about the way he does it that looks so vicious. I really feel like you get a lot of momentum of the bam, back of the head slamming against the mat. I like that as a move now. And there was a really good bit when he was on the outside and he just hopped up onto the apron and hopped over the top rope. And to see a guy, because he's a big guy, and I feel like, I don't know, sometimes I consider him as a bit shorter than he is, but you know, he's an enormous man and very impressive. I like Mojo Rawley, is what I'm saying.
My only note would be that I just wish he'd use the pounce as a finisher as opposed to the Alabama Slam.
Yeah,
I think the pounce just looks so much more impactful. Speaking of which, I see that Monty Brown's coming out of retirement.
No.
He is. He put up on Twitter today that he's looking for promoters to hire him for work. He's looking to come out. He's even said he's willing to work for free.
Oh.
Bless his heart.
Then we got the next chapter of Bayley and Sasha Banks. They're forced to work together. They've got matching jackets.
Well, they're best friends, mate.
But when did they?
You
ever
know how like you and I
jackets?
Have matching jackets.
When we've got different jackets.
We wear outside of this place. But
But when did they get? Was this something from the comedy skits that they never showed?
Scooby Doo. I don't even remember their jackets. To be honest, you made more of a note on this than I did. I just wrote they're walking backstage, and then this is they had a tag team match against. Yeah, it was the other thing is Kurt Angle said that here on Raw we settle things in the ring. I was like, well, apart from the last 2 weeks when you sent them through to therapy, and it's not.
And
even
your top champion is nowhere near a ring,
and it's not even like they're facing each other. They're a tag team once again. Facing up against the formidable foe of Dana Brooke and Alicia Fox
Foxy's first match since before the Royal Rumble, no less. This is her return to Raw.
Yeah, when she broke her tailbone because of all that heat she got backstage by being a bit drunk with Ronda Rousey's husband and getting in a fight.
That was at WrestleMania, though.
Was that WrestleMania?
Yeah, that was WrestleMania.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah, no, she injured herself practicing the Royal Rumble.
Mm.
She says this is Foxy's first match back.
It's probably for the best. She doesn't know how a Royal Rumble works. The amount of time she's tried to pin people outside the ring.
Bless her heart. I'm really struggling to speak today. I do apologise, viewers. But Bayley was essentially, like, she sort of dominated, and then the heels. But I think when Dana Brooke she wrestles, she is a heel, but when she's with Titus Worldwide, she's a babyface. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. But then they started beating her up outside, and then Sasha runs around, and she starts beating them up, but she's DQ'd for kicking too much ass, and...
What the hell's that finish?
Well, that match certainly ended, because it didn't really end. She just beat her. The referee called for the bell, and she just stormed to the back. No music played, no announcement was made, and that was it. And, like, Bayley just sort of stared up forlornly, and poor old Dana Brooke and Alicia Fox, I mean, I think they got the win, which might be Dana Brooke's second win of the year after a house show victory over Ruby Riot.
It was so weird.
And so weird.
Because, like, this happens so much in tag team matches where the heels would gang up on the babyface and, oh, here comes the babyface to save her partner or his partner by beating up the two heels. But the referee DQs her for it. So inconsistent, so banal. So, like, who comes up with that finish and decides to go with it? On a television show that's nationally broadcast.
It's not going to Fox, it's staying on USA, isn't it? But anyway, so backstage, Sasha Banks is packing up all of her stuff, and Bayley runs up to her and she's like,
This is weird.
She's like, why did you do that? And Banks says that, hey, I can beat you up all I want, but I'll be damned if someone else does it. I was like, mate, it's wrestling. Like, what they were doing was wrestling. Like, you can't wrestle Bayley all the time. Other people have to wrestle her. I know WWE don't seem to think so, going by 2018. But then Sasha says that, Bayley means a lot to her. She cares deeply. She doesn't like to share her emotions. She's like, you know, she's closed off. She's got a heart of ice. And she loves Bayley. And that was her big line. She was like, I love you, Bayley. And then she walks off. And it cuts back to the commentators. Corey Graves' face is just like, this is well rubbish. Like, his look on his face was like, I mean, it's totally in character of Corey Graves. But he was just like, I don't buy any of this.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, method acting is your friend. So when Banks said, Banks' performance was good here, I thought. She delivered these lines well. But the ship has sailed. This could have been an okay angle 5 months ago.
Maybe after the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. And when Banks said that, you know, I love you line, it just came across as so... It was played up like a moment in a romantic comedy where they then kiss afterwards.
It did feel like an I love you as in, like, I'm romantically in love with you as opposed to the way that I love you as a friend, yeah.
And you know what? I made a joke about this in the Raw review, my separate video, and I thought, like, is that the worst thing in the world? If WWE wants to do positive LGBT characters, or LGBTQ, or LGBTQ2+, WXYZ, whatever alienating thing they want to group together as this week, why not make Bayley and Banks girlfriends? And you don't really make a big deal of it. They're just two people who are going out. You don't play it up like a camp gay person or a butch lesbian thing. They're just two women in love, which really works well in the current climate for, like, you know, that's and it ties in with their PR purposes, and it would be quite an interesting story, and it would give depth to their characters. And I actually thought, you know, that could be one of the things that saves this storyline.
Yeah, and
they would never do it.
I was going to say, and don't do it like HLA was back in the day with Eric Bischoff, when they were so desperate for ratings, they were like, hey, women making out on TV is going to get us ratings. Do it, like, take it seriously and actually make it part of their character. I think that would be quite nice.
Yeah, baby face team.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah.
Then we got that Braun
WWE,
Strowman interview.
It wouldn't be the worst thing.
What does it stand for? Then we got the B team versus the Ascension. They beat the Ascension really quickly.
Yep, they are a dominating tag team force. It is really, it's kind of exposes the their tag team roster when
So, like, the B team, like, come out for their match, and they're facing up against the Ascension, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're a jobber tag team. I suppose the B team were a jobber tag team as well. And then later on, when AOP killed Titus O'Brien, I was like, and they're a jobber tag team as well. And the Revival watching backstage, and I was like, that's a little while ago that you were a jobber tag team. And it's like, without the Deleter of Worlds, you are just a load of jobber tag teams.
And even with the Deleters of Worlds, I'm like, you're just two singles guys who have been botched.
Yeah, when they did that, so B team won, obviously, because they're the champs. I shouldn't say obviously. It cut to the screen, and Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt were there, and I'm like, oh, I just can't take you two seriously. Mm. I do not buy into this act whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's when they said they're getting the rematch whenever.
Next week, in fact.
Oh, is it next week?
Yeah.
The B team...
I said Delete was so unover this week.
The B team, it's strange, because I like acts to be booked strong if they're going to be champions, and... fewer people have been booked stronger than the B team on the main roster.
Well, they're undefeated.
They're undefeated since their rebrand. They've been undefeated since May, when we watched them debut at the London shows.
Yeah.
That's 2 months now. They won the titles on the first time of asking. Why do they feel so unthreatening?
I know. Well, it's because they were booked to be like, yeah, they're undefeated, but they're a joke. And they're undefeated through fluky measures. But now they're sort of winning, like, convincingly. So it's the Carmella thing all over again. Mm. I don't know whether Carmella's supposed to be a credible champion or not. Sometimes she wins because she's great. Other times she wins because she cheats.
Because in those singles matches with Curtis Axel or Bo Dallas, they would win in 40 seconds through a fluke pin, like you said.
Slip on a banana peel.
But then, like, in the last couple of weeks, they've been winning 10-minute-long matches with a fluke at the end. But it's not so much a fluke when you've out-wrestled or hung in there for 10 minutes.
They beat the Leaders of Worlds clean as a sheet on Sunday.
Yeah, and Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt just week after week in singles competition. So, and it's a shame because the B team as a comedy act is a bit one-dimensional, and I grew tired of it quite some time ago. But the B team as a comedy act outside the ring... but badasses inside the ring, Edge and Christian. Like, how good would that be? Because they've got comedy chops. Their, like, chemistry is quite good together, but there's no depth there. So it's another missed opportunity.
Yeah. So anyway, where are we next?
Something good.
Something good.
Something good.
This
now.
This actually was terrific. So Alexa Bliss comes out to cut a promo. I think you could probably close your eyes and imagine what this promo is. It was Alexa Bliss talking about how great she is as champion, how she's defeated. She conquered the bully Nia Jax, and she said her smartest muscle is her brain, and she's beaten every woman in the locker room. Crowd started chanting for Ronda, and she brilliantly was like, well, she doesn't count because she's suspended and isn't in the locker room.
That was a great line.
Great line. And then, all of a sudden... Ronda just shows up out of the crowd. She just, like, comes through the building. And you can hear this sort of murmur from the crowd when they realise that Ronda's there. The camera never focused on her. As you're watching, you just saw the crowd just turn around and be like, oh my God, Ronda's here. And out comes Ronda looking like a total badass. And the crowd are going nuts for Ronda Rousey because she is an actual star on this show. And she storms down. She gets up on the stage. The heels try to run away. And she's like, that's not happening. Chases them down. Mickie James gets into the ring. Ronda chases after a wicked judo slam. Tries to lock the armbar on. But Alexa Bliss pulls her away. And the referees come out to try and break it up. Ronda's like, F this.
Usually that would be the end of it. But nope, not for Ronda.
You done effed up, son. She pushes them out the way. She chases up. Dives over the referees to get to Alexa Bliss. Drags her to the ring. Goes to put her in the armbar. And then referees pull her out again, and Angle comes out and is like, whoa, like, your suspension ends on Wednesday. What are you doing? This could be disastrous. I might have to suspend you further. Crowd boos because they don't want to see Ronda suspended because she's awesome. And then Baron Corbin comes out and he's like, this is disgusting, Angle. You should suspend her. And then Angle, in an odd move, because surely you should be reprimanding these people for sort of breaking, you know, the rules of their suspension, gives her a title match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, so it wasn't the most logically sound segment.
No.
And there was a bit of goofy comedy where Baron Corbin was like, "You won't, I'm going to tell Stephanie on you for booking that match.
Doesn't watch the show live.
Yeah. Where's my phone? Oh, you just wait till I get my phone." And Baron Corbin goes off backstage. And then Kurt's like, wap, 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 and he reveals that he had the phone.
Looking for this?
Yeah. And it was a bit goofy. And
I
just
laughed.
Goes to my theory that Kurt Angle's got a serious phone problem. He's always on it backstage, and now he's taking other people's.
Well, do we know that's even his phone? Maybe he's just picking up other people's phones
all
and reading
time.
Their messages.
What a weirdo.
I know.
Well, I guess when you're... you know, with the whole illegitimate son thing, he's just become a paranoid maniac.
He just wants to know who knows his other skeletons in the closet.
Which could be a really good kayfabe incontinuity reason why he's such a poor general manager. Terrible decisions he makes.
But anyway, but he has announced that Ronda Rousey will be getting a match against Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam, and it will be for the Raw Women's Championship.
Ronda Rousey barely... Well, she didn't say a word. Way to use her.
Absolutely. One of the biggest issues that WWE had with Roman Reigns is that when they split him away from the Shield, they gave him a microphone and gave him long promos to do, which he was never comfortable doing. They tried to make him as John Cena. Backfired. Now everyone boos him. This is smart. Don't give her a lot of talking time. Just make her look like a badass. It works.
And it did take them a while to figure this out, though, because she was getting the promo stuff between Rumble and Mania. But
they worked it out quickly.
They've cut the stride. Well, 3-4 months.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the segment. I thought Ronda looked awesome.
In like, there was a moment where I was like, has she shaved the sides of her head into a Mohican?
Yeah,
or a mohawk. Is it Mohican or a mohawk?
I think you can go with both things.
Yeah, and no, she just like really coolly braided the hair on top of her head off the sides of her head. Ronda's awesome.
Ronda's...
if I almost wanted to embrace that 80s post-apocalyptic appearance.
Like Mad Max.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to dye her hair purple as well in the mohawk.
The Thunderdome.
Yes. Yes, with like skulls round their neck.
That's Triple H's wet dream, I think. Next we got, they announced that NXT War Games 2 is happening in November before Survivor Series. So it is going to become an annual tradition for the brand, it would seem. Which I'm a little bit sad about. Because I always feel like last time they did War Game, it was because you had three teams and you need to lock them inside a cage and do this. Now, if you do it as a yearly tradition, it's like when they do Hell in a Cell. It's like, well, now we're just doing the match because...
Unless it becomes NXT's version of a Royal Rumble or a King of the Ring, in which it's an annual kind of match that crowns a number one contender.
That I can get behind.
Yeah, that would be the way to do it. But yeah, I feel the same about you, but...
I'm glad you feel the same way about me.
Yes. I wish you wouldn't just gimmick it up all the time for no reason. You force yourself into these gimmicks.
The Authors of Pain then squashed Titus Worldwide. Not the smoothest match in the world.
They were in a NXT TakeOver War Games match.
I think that's why they announced it.
Yeah.
This wasn't the smoothest match in the world, but AOP won.
By pretty one-sidedly as well.
And speaking of treading water...
it's awkward how we sometimes structure these rambles, because we'll talk about the big talking points at the start, and usually it ends okay, but the last thing we're going to talk about here is Sarah Logan beating Ember Moon.
Oh yeah, that is the last thing that happened, wasn't it? So backstage, the Riot Squad were, the Ruby Riotless Riot Squad were walking backstage, and they found No Way Jose's sex party, but then they just, they walk past them because they're all riotous and stuff.
So you know when I said I want the backstage area of WWE to be like a living, breathing universe
where
people talk to each other, and it's not just you only see people who you're feuding with. Take that all back now. Because if it's just No Way Jose congering about like an absolute idiot face, don't want that to happen.
This is in kayfabe. This is what his life is. It's just walking around a building, never booked for matches unless it's against Mojo Rawley, just conga lining all over the place. Like, if you're part of that sex party, you must be like, can we just stop for a bit? I mean, we've gone past catering 5 times, and there's a potato salad there that I've got my eye on.
From my experience of watching Wild Wild Country, a documentary on sex cults on Netflix, a lot of drugs. They are all just the poor things.
Just tripping
No Way
balls,
Jose's
man.
Like a sex trafficker.
They're all going to eat the guy dressed up as bacon, aren't they?
Yeah, it's sad.
But yeah, so speaking of treading water, Ember Moon took on Sarah Logan. She'd beat Liv Morgan twice, and now she's...
You should have said, speaking of conga lines that go nowhere.
Oh, nice. So good. This is why you're the leader of this show.
That's why I'm the segue, man.
Exactly. Ember Moon took on Sarah Logan. I don't really have a lot of notes from this. Moon hit a great dive. I thought Logan looked awesome because I'm a big fan of Sarah Logan. She was the second best thing in the Riot Squad, and with Ruby Riott not there, she's now default the best thing in the Riot Squad. So thumbs up to Sarah Logan. She's either dating or married to one of War Raiders, I believe.
Yeah, I think they're getting married soon.
Yeah.
So definitely engaged.
I just thought she looked really awesome in this match. And Ember Moon's really awesome as well. It's just that I think it's a feud. I think they're feuding.
It's not a storyline. You couldn't say this was a storyline.
It's just happening. And then Logan pinned Moon off the distraction.
The only thing I would say about Sarah Logan is I don't know what a finisher is. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to react to finishes.
It's the game, mate.
It's the game. I'd like it to
see that. She had that really interesting promo where she explained it, don't you remember?
Yeah. Do you remember when we were just talking about how it took a little while to work out that Ronda don't talk, just don't give her the mic? Sarah Logan, it took her one promo to feel like, don't give her that again. Don't let her talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like her to use that pop-up headbutt, though. I think that's a really wicked finisher.
I have completely turned a corner on Ember Moon. I love Ember Moon.
It's a bad time.
Back in NXT, I was like, I just don't get it. She's like, I like her wrestling. I enjoy the matches. But her as a character, I don't know what she is. And she hasn't got, like, the insane charisma that would draw me to someone with a confusing character. I don't know what's happened. Maybe it's because she does awesome dives. Maybe I've changed in myself. I think she's awesome now. I really like her. She had a really good bit. It wasn't even a wrestling move. She did something cool, and then she took one step, and she looked back with a little cheeky hair flick, so the hard cam caught it. I was like, that's awesome. I love you, Ember Moon.
Glad you can come join us over here on the Ember Moon bandwagon, because I really like Ember Moon. And I thought this was a fun little TV match.
So the problem is, now I'm invested in Ember Moon, I'm now more frustrated with the women's division. So swings and roundabouts. So overall, I gave this a 2 out of 5 rating, which is unfortunate because I know we crapped on a lot of the stuff in the middle there, but that's because the stuff we talked about at the start was half the show,
pretty much.
And we enjoyed all of that up until the Bobby Lashley victory.
Yes, it's like treading water we used for to describe Ember Moon and Sarah Logan, but the Bobby Lashley Roman Reigns thing almost feels the same way. It's because 2 weeks removed from them doing it at Extreme Rules, we're just going to get to see him do it again at Raw. Only this time it's not for bragging rights, I guess. And that was a bit of a crushing disappointment from the show. But I really did enjoy both of the triple threats. Yeah. I really enjoyed the opening segment because all of a sudden I was like, this could be a really interesting main event scene. It won't be, but this could be a really interesting main event scene.
It was the addition of Drew in there for me.
That's it.
Like, if Drew wasn't there, I think we'd be like, par the course. But just having Drew, it felt really different.
And Drew's so good. And there was other stuff on the show that I enjoyed as well. So I don't know if I'd have gone poor, apart from the disappointment side of things. So I might have gone average.
Mm.
But overall, I did enjoy the show.
Okay. I enjoyed the show. It's just, it's depressing for what it sets up, and it doesn't make me excited next week.
Yeah,
which makes me actively disinterested.
And that's almost the biggest crime, really, is that it doesn't want to make you tune in next week.
Yeah.
Have you calmed down now about the Roman Reigns thing? Has it still upset you?
It is still upsetting. It's just rubbish, isn't it?
It's just rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it was better. Because all you need is to give... Like, we're not asking for the second coming of Breaking Bad every Monday night. We just want it to make sense. We want to sometimes get good wrestling, great wrestling. We just want to have a story that's told logically and is relatively engaging with twists and turns. It's not that hard. Every other show seems to manage it.
Well, would you like some correspondence to possibly cheer you up?
Yes.
So this is an email here from Lita Stanley. Greetings, guys.
A lady.
Well, that's actually one of the subject parts of this. Greetings, guys. My name is Lita. Love the consistent show.
Nice.
Well, she's written constant show, but I think she probably meant consistent. First of all, I can't...
It's just constant. God, that show.
That's what I mean. It's like, good Lord, this show has cost 3 episodes a week steady on
And
people.
That's not on a pay-per-view weekend. Jesus, 9 uninterrupted episodes.
Oh, I've got no time for a constant barrage of idiots. First of all, I can't believe you only have a 5% of female listeners. I introduced my lady partner to your show on an 8-hour road trip about a year ago, and she is now an after-swafter, as wrestling, for the most part, is not for her. Fair, absolutely fair enough. My wife is one of those as well. I live in a small country town in Australia called Canadian.
So, shall we offer the Australian greeting?
Yeah, if you would like to.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. Australian.
I heard about a town in Australia that's so hot, they built it underground.
What?
It's like a mining town.
It's like beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I live in a small country. I live in a small country, Australia, but I was like, that's not
massive.
A small country. Bit massive, that. WrestleTalk seemed to...
WrestleTalk Get Better seemed like the best time to email you guys.
I forgot we were doing that.
Well, someone emailed around it the other day, didn't they? Yeah. We haven't done it, though, so we haven't been to the gym this week. I have a linguistic disability, so sorry if the sentences and punctuation seem jarring. I finished my undergrad 2 years ago and have had trouble finding any universities that are flexible for me. However, not 3 hours to... I have a speaking. However, not 3 hours ago, I got a call from a university 1,000 kilometres offering me a position, which I grabbed without a second thought. So as of today, get this, I am an anthropology, sociology, film, media and cultural studies, traveling over 30 hours a week to follow my dream of getting an honours so one day I can write a PhD. Wow. Don't worry, there will be wrestling in there somewhere. Thanks for the consistent recordings, and know while you're watching Raw and SmackDown, a girl in Australia is travelling to university to get an education. P.S. Luke and Ollie, you sound like you know a bit about film and media, so what would you recommend to read, / watch or listen besides the Flickering Myth podcast and Lights, Camera, Game Over, naturally? Talking Simpsons is a great recommendation, so thanks for that.
Well, congratulations on getting a place there.
Congratulations, Lita. And I'd imagine as a wrestling fan called Lita, probably people have said something along the lines of, you have the same name as a popular wrestler.
Mm.
I get it all the time because there's a wrestler on the main roster that has a similar last name that's a bit like mine.
My first bit of advice is move.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you, but that's 30 hours a week. That's a long way to go.
It's longer than my commute, and I piss and moan about that all the time.
I mean, I'm hoping that's a 15-hour journey there on a Monday and a 15-hour journey back on a Friday, because otherwise... I mean, that's a lot of hours a day.
Mm.
30 into...
Well, it's 1,000 kilometres away.
That's 6 hours of travelling a day.
Yeah.
So, yes, that would be the first thing. Or, I mean, actually, if it's one uninterrupted train, you've got plenty of reading time to swat up on all of those courses that you've bundled into one.
Yeah.
Or is it sociology, anthropology... film and media studies.
And culturalism.
And culturalism.
Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah, and absolutely really mad congratulations to you as well. It is super, super duper impressive. And good luck on writing a PhD as well. Like, that sounds like that's something that would be wicked to write. I mean, I know I've got a book on that, but like.
It won't be. Sorry to burst the bubble. Academia is very stuffy. And I was going to go into it at one point. That was always the way I was going to go. Do my master's, do a PhD. I really fell out of love with that whole politically just self-aggrandizing world.
But congratulations to you.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, congratulations to you. But you're in the good part. You're in a bachelor's. That's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I would say for that, I mean, there's only one really, isn't there?
Well, she's already said that.
A text to read for film studies. And then it's André Bazin's What is Cinema? Ouais, le cinéma.
I would certainly recommend David Hughes has got two excellent books, The Greatest Sci-Fi Movies Never Made and Tales from Development Hell, both excellent books, big influence on me writing mine, actually. I would certainly recommend those. And from a video game side of things, so that's where that falls under media slightly, would be Console Wars by Blake J. Harris. Some excellent books there I'd recommend.
So you've approached it there from the business and production side of things.
Oh, I suppose.
Mine's from a
theoretical
standpoint.
Yeah,
and it depends which way you're going
to
go.
To be honest, that's where my mind tends to go. Because my book's very much just about the business side of things as well, as opposed to the theory.
But that's just as fascinating. Either pursuit's valid.
So we've got an email here. Now he's spelt it out phonetically. Ivan El.
Ivan El.
Ivan El. Hello, guys. I'm a podswafter all the way from Orlando, Florida, over in the States. I just wanted to give you guys a quick shout out for keeping me up on my long overnight shift by keeping me entertained and making me feel somehow as if I'm part of the conversation. You guys have really opened me up to New Japan and allowed me to appreciate it, as I used to be a WWE guy through and through, to the extent I rejected the program due to the Monday Night Invasion. I think he means like the 2001 invasion. I've since come to appreciate the amazing wrestling coming out of the program. You guys have allowed me to turn wrestling fans that are tired of WWE booking as of late, or people who have turned out after the Attitude Era, back into wrestling just by having you guys on as I work. Anyway, thanks for you guys for the great and consistent content. I wish I had a Rusev hey, but I have only shaken hands with Goldberg and others as they've left the arena. Also, do people still hate Luke, or is that phase done? Keep up the excellent work, Ivan El. I think there is still a a portion that aren't fans, but you know, you can't please everyone.
No, and we've also shaken Goldberg's hand.
I've got my picture taken.
Yeah, don't want to you know, piss on your chips, but we've also done that.
Yeah, you're gonna piss away and just anyway.
Hang out with him for a bit.
Do you want to hear a really great Rusev Hey? This might be our last one of
Rusev
the
Hey.
Hi, Luke and Ollie. I'm loving the Rusev Hey segment on the show and have one of my own to contribute. So it's quite a long one, but bear with us. Back in 2005, I was still a massive wrestling fan before my drop-off in 07 to about 2010/11. So imagine my surprise when I spotted a poster whilst walking down my local high street proclaiming that the Angelic Diablo Matt Hardy and the hardcore legend Mick Foley were Ooh. Coming to my small Scottish town. My friends and I immediately headed off to the box office of the Grand Hall in Kilmarnock and bought ringside and meet and greet tickets. Not only were we going to get to meet two legends, Matt Hardy was battling local hero Drew Galloway. Drew is from the nearby town in Ayr, about 15-20 minutes drive away. Cue a few months build up of trading tapes of Hardy Boys matches amongst my friends and excitingly building up to No Blood, No Sympathy. He's put in brackets here, geez, what a title. On the day itself, I put on my Hardy Boys t-shirt and cut holes in a pair of my sister's leggings that I put on my arms to look as hardy as possible. I was 18 years of age, how embarrassing.
We've all been there, man.
My friends and I then eagerly queued up outside the venue and started talking to the others hanging out. One guy, must have been in his late 30s, took great pleasure in telling us that Matt Hardy had re-signed with WWE and wouldn't be appearing. I binned my homemade arm thingies and was happy to find out from this guy who'd now been referred to as a smark that the company had booked TNA star AJ Styles to replace Hardy. Wow, we thought. Having seen his matches with Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels, this would do very much. So finally we got into the venue and spotted Mick Foley at his table ready to take pictures and sign autographs. AJ Styles' table was empty, but that didn't matter to me. We were sure he'd turn up soon. Plus, his match with Drew later on would be awesome. Meeting Mick was great, and he couldn't have been nicer. He signed my white sock and shook my hand. Then we started to queue at the empty table, awaiting the appearance of AJ Styles. After what seemed like an eternity, he finally appeared. The special guest we'd all been waiting for. The man booked to replace Matt Hardy and face Drew Galloway, none other than the phenomenal Spike Dudley.
Oh, no.
Yes, the know-it-all had been wrong, and AJ was booked to replace Matt on most of his indie dates, not just in my hometown. Mm. Feeling somewhat shortchanged, we were determined to make the most of it, but Spike clearly had other plans. The alcohol was seeping out of his pores, and he clearly had no idea where in the world he was. When we eventually made it to the front, Spike proceeded to point at my t-shirt, my Hardy Boys t-shirt, and tell me that Jeff Hardy was an effing douche, before refusing to take a picture and then signing my ticket, Your Worst Nightmare, spelt N-I-T-M-A-R-E. Anyway, safe to say the match was a disaster, and he was in my local newspaper the following week for being thrown out of the town's nightclub at 2 a.m. for fighting with some girl. So all's well that ends well, I guess. Sorry about the length, your buddy, Russell Abercrombie.
That's extreme. Thank you, Russell.
Extreme being a nice word there. He was from ECW.
Yeah.
I think you did that on purpose.
I did. I would hazard to guess that was 2005.
He did say it was around that time, yes.
Yeah, so Matt Hardy, of course, released from WWE, but then brought back for the feud with Edge.
Exactly. Well, it was all the Edge stuff that he got him fired in the first place. And that's when he started creating this Angelic Diablo character that he was going to... He said he was going to take it to TNA, and of all places. But he didn't do so in the end, and just went back to WWE so he could lose to Edge over and over again. Good choice, Matt, I think. But anyway, should we call it a day for this episode of the podcast? We will be back tomorrow, of course, with the SmackDown review, where we're going to have a rematch between Jeff Hardy and Shinsuke Nakamura, which one would presume will go longer than their Extreme Rules match did.
Don't count out something happening from out of nowhere.
Well, exactly. There is a viper lurking, and he is looking to hit people in the nards.
And I'm not just happy to see you.
But thank you all for listening. We will see you again tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.